Good morning. Just a second. I'm good. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. It's great to see your faces this morning. And it is a great honor to hear from our missionaries. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the single greatest instrument of change in the universe. It is the means by which dead, sinful souls are given life and are made beautiful, as Psalm 149 just told us. It is my great honor to introduce to you, although I feel like most of you probably know George and Vera better than I do. We go way back. We have been friends for weeks now. It's been great. George and Vera DePauw, am I pronouncing that correctly? DePauw? Okay, very good. They have three children, Gideon, Miriam, and Martha, three grandchildren. And they serve with IPM. And for those of you who may not know, that's a missions agency organization based right here in Hanover. And George is a national pastor serving in Ghana, West Africa. And we get to hear him today here. What a blessing. They live in Tema, and July of 2020 marks his 40th year in the Lord's service. What a fantastic honor and blessing it is to welcome a fellow pastor, fellow missionary, fellow servant of the living God, fellow trainer of men, to come and share with us this morning. Would you please make him feel welcome?
We want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. And we want to thank you for your many years of faithful support and prayers for our ministry. I came with my wife. Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I have a short video presentation that will give you an overview of where the Lord has brought us this far. And then I'll pick it up from there.
Reverend George DePauw has always had a heart for the evangelization of his people. Coming from a Muslim background, Brother DePauw, as a teenager, found Christ as his Savior. In 1980, after completing 4 years of Bible studies under missionaries from Baptist Mid-Missions, Brother DePauw founded the Solid Rock Evangelistic Ministries and began preaching. Today, the ministry is known as the Solid Rock Baptist Missions. Brother DePauw's first evangelistic crusade was held in the port city of Tema and resulted in many professions of faith and in the establishment of a new local church, the Solid Rock Baptist Church. Solid Rock Baptist Missions, under Reverend DePauw's leadership, is continuing to involve Africans in reaching Africans for Christ. A primary goal of Solid Rock Baptist Missions is the planting of independent Baptist churches that are fundamental in doctrine and position. A total of 36 churches have been planted by Reverend DePauw and his Solid Rock Baptist Missions missionary staff in nearly every region of Ghana. Aggressive church planting requires the training of many pastors and church workers. The establishment of the Solid Rock Baptist Bible College has made it possible to train many more workers for the harvest fields of Ghana and West Africa. Solid Rock Baptist Bible College students receive an excellent academic education, along with practical Christian ministry training and experience. But most students have no financial backing for tuition or room and board. Getting a job while going to school is not a possibility in Ghana. Solid Rock Baptist Bible College needs monthly financial support to be able to continue to train these future pastors and church planters. Funds are needed to continue construction of college buildings on the campus, which is located north of the capital city of Accra. The evangelization of Ghana is a task to which the DePa family has dedicated their energies. They have already seen great progress, and they see great potential for reaching their land. Please pray for the DePa family and for more laborers in this part of God's harvest, as the Lord is bringing souls to Himself through the DePa's ministry. If the Lord would have you help this ministry financially, please attach a note on your check indicating DePa SRBM Support, made payable to International Partnership Ministries.
Thank you very much. My first time of visiting Calvary Bible Church was in the fall of 1995. That's about 25 years ago. And you took us on for support, and you've done so to date. And we are very grateful. When I came here in 1995, we had started three churches. But between 1995 and today, we are planting our 40th church. And I believe that God has... God has enabled us to do and accomplish what we have accomplished because of people like you who have backed us, who have prayed for us faithfully. And some of you have been writing to encourage us on the field, and we appreciate that very much. We get birthday cards, anniversary cards, and Christmas cards, and different ones have made it their duty, and they send these to us. And it encourages us to know that there are some people far away who are behind us and involved with what we are doing. As Pastor said, this July will mark my 40th year in the ministry. I have a burden on my heart which I wish our supporters will help us to discharge. The Bible College. We need to complete the library building. The library building is needed before we can even approach the government for national accreditation. The accreditation is needed to encourage more young men to want to come and study and prepare themselves for work and also to serve the Lord. And so I pray that by the time we get to December, we would have been able to have enough funds to complete the building. We are needing a little over $40,000 to finish that ground floor. But many years ago, when the plan was drawn, we needed $120,000 to finish a three-story building. But between the year 2000 and now, the price has changed, that the $120,000 would do only one floor instead of the three floors. As you saw in the picture, we've been able to do half. We need the other half to be completed. And so my 40th anniversary wish is that God's people will help me to complete that building. We need a building because that is the future of the ministry. The training of other men to take up this job is the future of the ministry. And so it's a burden that is weighing heavy on my heart. And so pray with us concerning it. And probably some of you as individuals can even do some fundraising. There used to be an old lady in Washington State. Some time ago, we needed motorcycles. What she did, she organized a brunch and invited friends and told them what the needs were. And she was able to get us buy 5-6 motorcycles for some of the preachers on the field. So she has just passed away. Mrs. Hope Tallon was a great encouragement. She died at the age of 97. And probably some of our supporters can act like her. And getting a little here, a little there, we shall be able to finish that building. I'm not as strong as I used to be 40 years ago. See, formerly I would climb these steps, you know, jumping, pa, pa, pa. But now I step on the steps softly as I climb up. It means that I need to get the college in place so that others can take over from us. But we really appreciate your faithfulness, the way you've supported us until this time. God bless you. This morning, I want to bring a challenge to all of us. With all the chaos and confusion going on around us in the world, we should focus on our God. And so I'm bringing a message from the book of Exodus. Exodus, the second book of Moses, chapter 33. Reading from verse 12 to 15. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. You've made it possible for your children to gather here in your house and around your word. Lord, we pray that your word will strengthen our faith and draw us closer unto yourself. And Father, in the midst of the chaos and confusion that we see around us, let us reckon that you are still in control, you are all powerful, we can always look up to you. So bless your word. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. My focus this morning, it's on verse 14 and 15. God assured Moses, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses reiterated that if your presence go not with me, then don't send me at all. Moses saw that having God's presence with him was very important to the task which God was giving him. Now, Moses is a very interesting person. He was the first person to ask God, "What is your name?" When God called Moses and was about to send him, he said, "If I go and the people ask me, 'Who is this God that sent you? What shall I say? What is your name?'" And it was to Moses that God said, "My name is I Am, that I Am." Now here, he was telling God, "You are sending me. I want to be sure that you are going to go with me. I want to be sure that your presence is going to be with me. And if your presence is not going to be with me, then I don't want to go. I don't want to live here." In fact, if you read further, after God had assured him of his presence, he was still not satisfied. He said, "Lord, I've heard your voice. I've seen your act. Now I want to see how you look like." Moses wanted to see God's face in this same chapter. And it was to Moses God said that, "No man can see my face and live. If you see my face, it means you are coming to me. You are going to die." And then Moses thought, wouldn't it be nice to see his face and just die? And so Moses insisted, "Lord, it doesn't matter. I still want to see your face. I want to see how you look like." He wanted to get to know God. Then God said, "All right, I'm going to pass in front of you. Now you stand in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hands. And I'll let you see my back, but you cannot see my face." I just want us to see the power that was behind Moses, which enabled him to do all the things that he did. The presence of God. It was something he craved for. One time he stayed in the presence of God for 40 days, 40 nights. And in fact, Moses would come back with his face glowing. Oh, that God's people will seek his presence day by day before we walk out of that house. There is power in the presence of the Lord. And this morning, I want us to think about some of the biblical examples. What the presence of God could do for us if we would seek that presence day by day. First, I want you to know that God's presence empowers us to defeat our enemies. Having God on your side, it's like being in the boxing ring and having a good manager right there showing you what to do. You need God on your side. And David actually is a very good example of this. The day David went to fight Goliath, Goliath was armed. He had a big shield, he had a spear, and he had a sword. And of course, he was very tall, about 9 feet tall. And he stood there and tormented Israel for weeks. "Bring somebody, bring someone, Israel. Send one man to come and fight me. Let's settle this simply. If I'm beaten, you've won the victory today." And nobody was willing to go and stand in front of a giant, 9-foot giant. And then here came David. And when David heard this man insulting God, insulting the armies of God, he was very angry. He said, who is this Philistine standing here and talking against our God? I'll go and fight him. And his brother Eliab turned and said, naughty boy, what do you want here? Get out of this place. This is not a child's play. Now, the Bible says the anger of Eliab was kindled against David. But his anger should have been kindled against Goliath. But it was against David. And David was saying, what did I do here? The man is insulting our God, and nobody is willing to fight him. I want to go fight him. And when David came face to face with Goliath, he said, you are coming against me with a shield, with a spear, and with a sword. But I'm coming against you in the name of Jehovah God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you are defying. David was claiming the presence of God with him. That was the difference between him and the rest of the army of Israel. David said, with God on my side, I can bring down a giant. It was David who said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And when Goliath saw him, he mocked Israel. He looked at Israel with pity. Oh, Israel, you couldn't get a man to come and fight me? And you just sent a boy? And what is he holding? A stick. Am I a dog? That you can't, you are coming to me with, come. I'm just going to give you to the fowls of the earth. And the Bible says he cursed David by his gods. He was claiming the presence of his gods. David was claiming the presence of Jehovah God. And as that man stood there and was bragging and talking, David, with a sling and a little stone, swings that stone, let it go in the name of Jehovah God. And God's invisible finger direct the stone to nowhere but that small space on his forehead that was open, and it lands there, and God's invisible finger presses it in. I don't know how else to describe it. And within a moment, the man fell dizzy. He didn't know what hit him. He came crashing to the ground. When God's presence is with you, he gives you victory over your enemy. And David is an example. And so Moses did not want to carry the people of Israel to the promised land until he was assured that God's presence was going to be with him. Another example, God's presence empowers his children to overcome temptation. We need to overcome temptation. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He tempted a Savior, and he's still tempting humankind today. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, with the presence of God in your life as a child of God, you can overcome every temptation the enemy brings your way. Now, you can think about Joseph. The Bible says God was with Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 and 2, and verses 20 and 21,
the Bible will narrate some misfortune which was coming upon Joseph, but then it will add, God was with Joseph. Joseph had the presence of God with him. And so when he was sold unjustly as a slave, he endured it. I never read of this young man complaining at any point in time. When he was resold into the house of Potiphar, he accepted his fate and he worked so hard that the man recognized that this is a different slave. I'll make him the head of all the slaves. He got promotion. You read, the Lord was with him. Then came the temptation of the flesh. Mrs. Potiphar looks at Joseph, very handsome and very strong. Probably her husband was an old man. And this woman wanted this young man to satisfy her. Joseph, what a strong young man you are. Thank you. Joseph, how handsome you are. Joseph. Joseph, come and spend some time with me. Mom, I'm busy. Joseph, don't you know I can help you to be free from slavery? At what price? Come lie with me. Huh? Now, if it was a 21st century young man, he would reason that, well, I did nothing wrong, and my brothers sold me, and God hasn't intervened yet. And in this house, I'm still working as a slave, and God has not done anything. And probably this is the way God is going to use to get me free from bondage. No. He had God's presence with him. So he reasoned right. He had the mind of Christ. Joseph said, how can I do such a thing and sin against my God? I'd rather be a slave, pleasing God, than to be free, living in sin against my God. The woman thought, this boy is too shy. I think I have to be more aggressive. And so she goes out of her way and grabs him. Joseph, today I've got you. What did he do? He left his coat in her hands and ran out of that house. It takes the presence of God to resist a temptation like that. Was he praised for that? No. He was falsely accused. And this time, thrown into prison. But the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now, the fact that things are happening in your life which may not be pleasant does not mean God has abandoned you as his child. Count upon his presence every step of the way. It was Joseph who told his brothers years later, as for you, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. That's another way of saying, all things work together for good to them that love God. Joseph had God's presence. So every trial, every temptation the devil brought his way, he was victorious. He was able to overcome every temptation. We need God's presence to be able to overcome the wiles of the devil. Every trial, every temptation that the devil will bring our way. We can also look at the New Testament and we see that God's presence empowers his children even in the face of death to swallow death in victory. I'm thinking about Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian to die for his faith. The first Christian martyr. And the day Stephen was being stoned, Saul of Tarsus stood there. A Pharisee, very zealous for God, but having that zeal without a proper knowledge. And why was Stephen being stoned? He was telling them that because of your sins, because of my sins, that is why the Messiah came to die. And you are still resisting. You are not receiving him. They didn't want to be rebuked in the face. He was not politically correct. And the people could not stand it. He got a hold of him. But guess what? The Lord was with Stephen. And the Lord did open the windows of heaven so that Stephen could see, could have a glimpse of where he was going. And Stephen said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of God is standing on the right hand of God. They looked, said, the guy is a witch. He's a wizard. We can't see anything. He's a liar. He's bluffing. Kill him! And guess what? He began praying for those who were stoning him. He prayed to God and said, Lord, lay not this to their charge. Now, it takes the Spirit of God to help a man to pray for his enemies. Huh? But on the other hand, you want to curse. If you had the power, you want to call some powers to come and destroy these people who are stoning me. No, Stephen died praying for his enemies. And Saul of Tarsus could not get over that. Did he really see the heavens open? Did he really see the Christ standing on the right hand? No, I don't think so. I didn't see anything. I didn't see nothing. Oh, but on the way to Damascus, the Lord would open the window again. And this time the light in his face would strike Saul and blind him. And then he questioned Saul, why are you persecuting me? And what was his question? Who are you? Is it the Lord? Now, how did he jump to that conclusion? Stephen told him, but he didn't believe it. Who art thou? Is it the Lord? The Lord said, yes, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now, it is hard to kick against the prince, but that's exactly what you are doing. And so Saul, trembling, would ask that famous question which every believer ought to ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? His presence empowers the believer to swallow death in victory. So one of these days, the angel of death will come. But you remember, the psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God would be with you, and you will swallow death in victory. Because God's Spirit will remind you that you are just going to be absent from the body, and you are going to be present with the Lord. You need the presence of God at every turn, every point in our life. His presence empowered Peter and his friends to preach with courage. You know, after the death of Christ, his disciples, they went into hiding. But Christ will go and get them out and commission them. Wait for the promise. You are going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you are going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now the day of Pentecost came. The Holy Spirit came upon these people to perpetually now indwell the believer. And then what happened? The man who a few weeks ago denied his Lord 3 times, Peter, stands up and he preaches the word of God with courage, with boldness. And 3,000 people come to know the Lord as their Savior that one day. And then they will move on. 5,000 people have come to know the Lord. The leaders of the Jewish people are disturbed, so they arrest them. And they imprison them. And then they bring them for trial. And they warn them. And they say, hey, we are going to let you go, but don't preach this name anymore. And then Peter will ask them, should we obey you, men, or should we obey God? Judge for yourself. We ought to obey God rather than men. At the beautiful gate, Peter speaks to the cripple, said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Christ, get up and walk. And somebody is healed. A miracle has happened. And the guy goes jumping and leaping and praising the Lord. And they come around and say, hey, come here. Did we not tell you not to preach in the name of this man again? And Peter said, we cannot be quiet. We just want you to know this. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. They tried to silence them. They would not succeed. And then they looked at them and they wondered. These are unlettered men. They are not very well, highly educated. From where did they get the courage to stand in front of us and speak the way they are speaking? And somebody told them, they have been with Jesus. They have been in his presence. It has made all the difference. The presence of God empowers his children to preach with courage, to witness with boldness. It drives away fear from within you, and you are able to go out there and do what God is asking you to do. Every day before you get out of the house, like Moses, seek the presence of God before you go out. Moses said, Lord, if you are not going to be with me, if your presence is not going to go with us, then we are going to stay right here. We are not getting out of this place. And that should be our heart desire. That should be our determination. Because it takes that presence of God for you to be able to discharge your duties as a believer. There's one more example in the Old Testament I want to bring to our attention.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to go into the furnace because they had the presence of God with them. And that day when Nebuchadnezzar called them and said, look, I'm going to give you a second chance. I heard that the first time the music sounded, you did not bow. But I love you. I love you guys. You've been so faithful to me. I will give you a second chance. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it for you. I'll cause the music to be played, and all you need to do is bow down, and then everything will be forgotten. And that day, these three Hebrew boys stood there and said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. What did you say? Say, King, we don't need to consider the proposition you are making. We've made up our mind. The God we serve is able. He's able to deliver us from your hand. But if he would not, then it means he has chosen for us to die in your furnace, and we'd rather die glorifying him than to bow to your golden image. Boy, the man got so angry, he caused the fire to be heated 7 times. Said, bind them! Throw them in there! And oh, he waited to hear their screaming. But that didn't happen. Why? The master joined them in the furnace. Our Lord, who's going forth, has been from of old. He joined them in the furnace. And with his presence in that furnace, the fire became cold. They could not even feel the smoke. Okay? It burned what was used in binding them, but had no effect upon them with the master in the midst of the furnace with them. And then Nebuchadnezzar would look out there and see that there weren't 3 men, but 4. But he said, hey, the 4th one is like the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. But he had his eye on the 4th one. As they came out, the 4th one vanished. And in Daniel 3:28, this wicked, foul-mouthed king was heard shouting, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A minute ago, he wanted them dead. But now, having seen the presence of the Lord himself, this wicked king was praising God. It takes the presence of God for his children to go through any form of adversity and still glorify him and cause others around them to glorify him. This morning, the question is, do you have God's presence with you? If not, how can you get his presence with you? In the first place, you must be a believer. You must come to accept Jesus as your Savior. There is one God, yes, but there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. But those of us who have trusted him, are we allowing his presence to be with us? Samson did not. When Samson went out of God's way to do his own thing, yeah, he was a child of God, all right, but he did not allow the presence of God to be sustained with him. And that day when Delilah called him and said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. The Bible says he rose up and he said, I'll go out and shake myself as at other times. He wished not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed. As God's children, we need to live a life that will allow God's empowering presence to be with us. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us, but he should not just be a resident. He should be the presider, the president of our lives. If we are going to have the empowering presence of God with us. The Bible says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For in so doing, you make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. God's children, you fill our hearts and lives with the word of God. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we are going to have the empowering presence of God, we must treat God's word with respect, and we must strive to be obedient to the word of God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. God's people living in sin must repent and turn away from our sin and turn back unto our God. Then can we be assured of God's presence day by day. And he'll give us victory over our enemies. He will empower us to overcome our trials and temptations. He will empower us, even in the face of death, to be victorious. He will empower us to discharge our duties as Christians with courage. And he will empower us to go through every furnace of this life and still have his peace to bring honor and glory unto his name. May God help us so that every day we will crave his presence. Moses said, Lord, if you are not going to be with us, we don't want to get out of here. Every morning, would you say, Lord, I want you to be with me before I walk out of that door. May you experience the empowering presence of God in your life. Today, if you are here and Christ is not your Savior, I invite you to come and acknowledge him. That is where you begin. Let us pray.